Hey, it's Brian Curtis from The Ringer, and I want to tell you about the Press Box podcast. The Press Box is a podcast for anybody who likes news, whether it's about sports or politics or pop culture, and wants to understand how that news really gets made. We have new shows every Monday and Thursday. We have long interviews with everyone from John Krakauer to Joe Buck. Your social media feeds are bursting with information every day. Let us help you sort it out. Join us on the Press Box.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by Priceline. When it comes to travel, we all have that happy place, whether it's the beach, ski slopes, couples getaway, or even a visit to that best friend you haven't seen in way too long. And Priceline wants to get you there for a happy price so you never have to miss a trip. For me, my happy place is in the Mediterranean. I think I've mentioned that. Maybe it's why I like Love Island so much, because they're right by the Mediterranean. But I just love the feeling of being in the sea, and it's just a great sea. And now, thanks to Priceline's VIP family feature, you can go to your happy place more often while earning deals up to 5 times faster with a group. When one person from the squad travels, everyone gets more deals. And you even get to choose your crew. It doesn't have to be your actual family. It could be your neighbor, your roommate, your mailman, anyone. The more you travel, the more you save. And for me, I'd love to go on a trip to the Mediterranean with friends. In fact, I might be doing that in the near future. I have done it before, and it was really some of the most fun I've ever had. I went to Sicily. We had some great swimming there, me and my friends. Anyway, if you want to have a similar experience, download the Priceline app today to save up to 60% off select hotels and go to your happy price with Priceline. Welcome to Bachelor Party. I'm Juliette Littman, and tonight, it's just me. I know usually on Monday nights, it's me and Callie, and I promise Callie and I will be getting back together. That will be on Wednesday this week, because you know what? I'm traveling. We mentioned it last week. I'm still in Australia, about to fly home, and as a result, our schedules were just really screwed up. So Callie and I will have an epic catch-up to talk about Joey and the hometown dates, plus I think we've got 4 episodes of Love is Blind to cover with everybody, so, or maybe the finale too. I gotta check my schedule. Like I said, screwed up schedule right now. So we have so much to come on Wednesday, but first, what about a little What's Up Thursday on a Monday? Especially since we missed last week. So first, we must discuss what's up with Joey on Maria's hometown. Don't worry, Callie and I will talk about all 4, but right now, just gotta throw it out there. I don't even know why he went to Maria's hometown. He was sure the entire time that he would not be choosing her. I thought the most telling moment was a really small one at the dinner table where he had like a throwaway just line where he was like, sorry, mom, about the stuffed peppers. And he almost seemed like so relaxed in that moment that he wasn't trying because he just knew it wasn't a thing. But I'm okay with it. If Maria couldn't find it in herself in that moment to say that she loved him or she was falling in love with him, probably just wasn't meant to be. But this is the most number of women, I think, who have been concerned about the process, which is kind of interesting. Like, is The Bachelor broken? Can it survive if none of the women buy into it? I don't know. But I just was surprised he even went through with Maria. I guess he had to do 4, and it was clear that he was attracted to her. Maybe that was a producer pick. I don't really believe in that by the end of the season or the point that we're currently at, but something we have to consider. Also, if he was going to keep her around, why not take her to the fantasy suites? I guess he just felt like more of a connection with Rachel and more interested. But I think it's very clear from here that the final 2 are Daisy and I was going to call her Stacy, but her name's Kelsey. Daisy and Kelsey, their final 2. We'll dig into that more with Callie. But let's talk about what's up elsewhere in Bachelor Nation. First of all, most important thing we have to address is Pilot Pete dating Ek and Sue. This is a dream come true for all of those Bachelor and Love Island fans out there, which includes Callie and Mina and many of my other Love Island people in my life. I think the Traitors is like the most important thing that's ever happened to Pilot Pete. Incredible reputation, resuscitation. He's got a really hot British girlfriend now who apparently his mom likes. And I just feel like people know who he is. Like, he's actually broken out of Bachelor better than anyone in recent memory if this Traitors thing holds. But we really got to see a different side of him, one that I don't fully believe in. But he did get to like be someone who wasn't just vexed by the 25-year-old women around him. So huge win for Peter. I'm pretty happy for him, I guess. I'm still not a Peter fan. Also, what's up on Reddit? Apparently, sources say, and by sources, I mean a screenshot from Us Weekly of Brayden talking about other couples that may have reconciled from Paradise, and people are suggesting that it's Kylie and Avon. Are Kylie and Avon back together after Avon's cheating? I really don't know. I guess I hope for the best for them, but I don't know. Brayden just loves to be the center of attention. I wonder how long that will last. For the sake of Christina's child, I really hope that it lasts a long time. But he sure seems to find himself a microphone and a camera. Also on Reddit, let's talk about Joey's eyes. He, in a pretty endearing moment, I would say this is the first Bachelor who's really like figured out how to use social media in real time. He addressed the yellow eyes and he has Gilbert's disease, which gets worse with stress. I don't want to claim to be any kind of medical expert, particularly about a disease I had never heard of before. But Joey did let us know that he's probably okay. I think it's funny that he has something that shows his stress level because you can like see it evolving in real time. It's kind of like having a lie detector on The Bachelor, but instead it's just like this condition he has. I appreciate that. Also appreciate the various doctors who DM me to say that jaundice is about the pupils, not the irises. Very helpful. Joey's doing a lot of press and, you know, I'm glad he was able to get that out beforehand so he didn't have to spend his time on his upcoming interviews. The man's down to fantasy suites. He's really, really getting into it. I mean, this is when the season really changes, of course, and everyone always says that, but I think it's kind of funny how he times some of his social media to make sure he's like staying with the narrative, but not too far ahead. He's actually like letting the internet lead, which I don't know if that's his strategy or if it's just innate because he's like a Gen Z person. Who knows? I think that's all we got going on in Bachelor Nation right now. Of course, much more to come on Wednesday. We'll talk about the rest of the dates. I mean, got to talk about that Christmas tree farm. Got to talk about the bicycle for two, the tandem bike, I suppose people call that. I wonder if I'd be able to do a tandem bike because I can't ride a bike. So like if the other person did all the work, could I still ride on it? I don't know. Just throwing that out there. Let me know.
This episode is brought to you by Reese's Peanut Butter Cups. All right, it's official. I think I've discovered the ultimate coupling of all time. Like any good relationship, they really balance each other out. One is super sweet, and the other, well, they can be a little nutty sometimes. It is, of course, Reese's Peanut Butter Cups, the perfect combination of peanut butter and chocolate. So perfect, some would call it true love. Find Reese's now at a store near you. This episode is brought to you by eBay Authenticity Guarantee. eBay knows that when it comes to jewelry, authenticity is the real gem. When you see the blue check mark that says Authenticity Guarantee, it means your next piece will be carefully inspired by jewelry experts and will always be worth its weight in gold. Whether you're looking to make a statement or build the perfect everyday look, eBay is making sure you get the real deal. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that jaw-dropping piece will always arrive jaw-droppingly real. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
This episode is brought to you by State Farm. You might say all kinds of stuff when things go wrong, but these are the words you really need to remember. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there. They've got options to fit your unique insurance needs, meaning you can talk to your agent to choose the coverage you need, have coverage options to protect the things you value most, file a claim right on the State Farm mobile app, and even reach a real person when you need to talk to someone. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Let's talk about some other items in reality TV. And of course, that means talking about Love is Blind. There's nothing better on this show than when they get all the people together post-pods. I mean, the lake party really delivered. I gotta say, a lot of debate about Jess. She's clearly the breakout star. I love the EpiPen moment. But what I really like about Jess, and I'm not saying she's perfect, who knows, maybe she got a good edit, but I love that when she talked to Jimmy, she didn't trash Chelsea. That is just a really classy thing to do. And I really give her a lot of credit. As for Jeremy and Sarah Ann, I just don't understand why anyone would want to be friends with either of them. I cannot stand them. And I'm totally team AD in how she talked to Sarah Ann. Like, for example, or for the reason why, is maybe AD was overstepping, but the people who go on the show, whether they're genuine in the reasons they go on or not, they have now experienced something that nobody else has. Like, there's a certain code that nobody else can understand. And so, you know, if you think AD stepped out of bounds or took it a little too far, she has an experience that, like, very few people can relate to. Plus, as it's happening, they can't talk to anyone about it. So I like how she stood up for Laura, even though maybe Laura doesn't deserve it. I will say, like, one thing about Laura, huge mistake with that bathing suit at the lake party. Really didn't fit well. And I totally related to her adjusting it. That would be me too. But maybe rethink that, Laura. One thing that's been the most surprising about this season, when these couples break up, it's just done. They're just pushed off a cliff. And Jeremy and Laura not even interacting. The producer's not forcing them to have a conversation at that party. Pretty wild. I can't believe it. You know, since all the Trevor stuff has come out, watching his conversation with Chelsea was through a different lens for me than when I initially watched it, because I didn't know about Trevor potentially having a different relationship. So he should just win an Oscar, because his ability to lie in the moment is unparalleled. I can't believe how well he's able to do that. I don't know. That really sucks. I'm curious to see how the show moves forward. There's all these times where I'm like, oh, maybe this is going to break it. Maybe this is going to break it. But Love is Blind is truly a drug, and I'm addicted, as I think many, many people are. So I feel like it'll survive, but I do think it has to evolve in some way. And I'm curious to see how they do that. But, you know, they are pretty forward in how they think about the edit. One moment that really stuck out to me was when Clay was watching Love is Blind and talking about watching Love is Blind. Back in the old days of The Real World, you were never allowed to reference a different season. Or if you did, they would edit it out, because they're very focused on each season being contained. I think one thing that Love is Blind has done really well is split the difference between acknowledging the world around it, like that it is building, while also having each season feel like it's in a vacuum. Like, for example, in season one, we didn't necessarily know they were in Atlanta, but that was like key to a success. And now they're much more open about where they live. The geography is a piece of it. We already know that the next season is filming in Minneapolis. Like, they're really good at evolving it. The show certainly has other problems and is troubled in other ways that we've discussed on the pod. But I'm curious to see how that continues to evolve, because it'll be necessary with people like Trevor and Jeremy too. So we'll see how that keeps on going. Gotta say, happy to see more of the families throughout this. I think we got to see AD's mom, and she's just like so lovely. I'm really rooting for AD and Clay. I find Clay really confusing, and the amount that he talks about how his father cheated and if he's going to cheat would definitely be a red flag for me. But I have no doubt that Clay wants to be a good guy and wants to do the right thing. So I hope he's able to figure that out. As for Chelsea and Jimmy, this couple, there's no way they work out. I mean, I don't know where things stand right now, but there's just no way. I have to say, when we finally got to the fight where she yelled, "You fucked her," I was pretty disappointed. I really did want that to be about someone else in the show, but I thought it was interesting how Jimmy was really standing up for his friend. And all I could think about is, which friend was it? Was it one of the two we saw on TV? It might not have been, but probably is. I also do think that to give Chelsea a break here, because we've been so mean to her, I would not be comfortable with my fiance constantly texting and talking on the phone to another woman, especially if they've hooked up before. So I don't think that's that crazy. You know, Chelsea's got other issues that we've discussed ad nauseum, but that one would bother me too. I just think that those two are not meant to be. Jimmy's been continually impressive to me in the way that he controls himself when they're fighting. He's very good with being like, "You've crossed my boundary. Like, that's my boundary." And I really find it surprising. He doesn't like react. It's kind of wild. But Love is Blind, there's so much to discuss. We got to get Callie's thoughts, so I promise you we will. And lastly, what I'm reading. I just finished The Fraud by Zadie Smith, and I really recommend it. I'm a Zadie Smith completist. I think I mentioned this book earlier in the pod or in an earlier week, but it's just like a really fascinating turn from her. It's very meta. It's very meaningful. In some ways, the ideas are better than the execution. But when I finished it, I kind of felt astonished thinking about all the different frauds of the book and the idea of fraud. And I love a historical novel. I also love a meta historical novel. And it's like, it's really an achievement. So I would definitely recommend it. Next on my list is, and I've got a long flight ahead of me, Cleopatra and Frankenstein by Coco Mellors. So I'm looking forward to that, and we'll report back. In the meantime, hope everybody has a great week. Maria, I hope you're the bachelorette. Callie and I will be back to break it all down on Thursday. We're recording on Wednesday. You'll get it on Thursday. And until then, have a great week. Thank you to my producer, Olivia Crary.